I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The theme for our meditation this evening is hope in a hopeless world. In Matthew chapter 24, when the Lord Jesus Christ gave this exhortation to the disciples, it was towards the end of his ministry on earth. And he had already spent about 3.5 years with his disciples, teaching them many wonderful truths, performing great miracles, but most importantly, to tell them also about himself. But now, this was nearing the end of his ministry, and he gave them a very difficult message, because over here he talked about death, about persecution, and the destruction of the temple. You see this in Matthew chapter 24, verse 1, where the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ brought his disciples and he showed them the buildings of the temple. But the Lord Jesus Christ said that there will come a time where, in verse 2, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And so the disciples were very concerned. And immediately they asked the Lord Jesus Christ, when will these things be? And they asked three questions. First, when shall these things be? Second, what shall be the sign of thy coming? And third, and of the end of the world. That is, what shall be the sign of the end of the world? And the Lord Jesus Christ now in Matthew chapter 24 will answer these three questions in his teaching them and his instruction to them. But the part that concerns us this evening is the part which we have read. The Lord Jesus Christ was saying, as we draw near the time where the temple will be destroyed, as also we draw near the time where Christ will return, you will see all these signs in the earth. Now we know that the temple has already been destroyed in AD 70. Okay, that is about nearly 2,000 years ago. So in AD 70, from our perspective, that is, the temple has already been destroyed. But yet, we still see these signs continuing on. So I believe the exhortation here would be that these signs, some of them would be general. And it will continue until the Lord Jesus Christ returns again. And what are some of these signs which he told us about? He says in verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So the first thing that he warned against was against the false prophets, the false teachings, the errors that will abound. Then the Lord Jesus Christ also talked about the wars and rumors of wars in verse 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that ye be not troubled. And then he goes on to say in verse 7, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. Pestilences would describe diseases. And he says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. So as the Lord Jesus Christ was nearing the end of his ministry, he warned the disciples of a time which will come, which would be very difficult for them. Now, if you go on to read from verse 9 onwards, although we not read it, the Lord Jesus Christ will also talk about the persecutions of Christians. These disciples, they will have to endure sufferings, persecutions, tortures, imprisonments. And these are the things that they would have to endure in this world. Now, when we look at this world, don't we see a hopeless world? What the Lord Jesus Christ has described here is very true in our age and time. We see the different philosophies in this world. What is truth? What is error? With so many teachings, different kinds of teachings that abound, how do we know what is truth and what is error? Do we also not see wars and rumors of wars? Do we also not read of famines, pestilences, and earthquakes that are in diverse places? It's no wonder that this evening the Adult Fellowship Committee has chosen to think on how we can have hope in this hopeless world. Now, it does not take much effort for me to describe to you or to show you that this world is a hopeless world, because anyone who has ever lived in this world would know that this world is a hopeless world. How often do we see dreams shattered? Hopes being dashed. Now, hope is a very unique and strange emotion. To define it very generally, in the human mind, hope is something which we wish for, we yearn for. Now, in a sense, hope is a very interesting thing because it is that which motivates the human being to keep going on and on. When you read a storybook, and this storybook describes a very difficult event, the story describes where this main character is going through a very difficult time, perhaps hopeless. Why do we keep reading on? Because we are hopeful that this story would have a good ending. Now, what is that which would drive a fireman to run into a burning building to save a child or a helpless person from the fire? Is it not hope? Why is it that young people, those who are still in school, they would study hard and they would try their best to be the top in class? Why would they persevere and be motivated in their studies? Is it not that because they have hope? Maybe they can achieve something in this world. Maybe they can do something in this world in the future. We remain hopeful. And all of us who continue doing what we are doing is because we have a little bit of hope. We remain hopeful that we can achieve something, that one day we will be successful. But when reality hits us, when we realize that perhaps we are not as talented as we thought we are, we are not as fast as we think we are, we are not as smart, not as clever as we think we are, that is when reality sinks in and we start to lose hope. It is then where people start giving up. They stop pursuing, they stop chasing. Why is it that some young people who would go to school, why do they give up halfway? Because they can no longer compete. They realize, I'm not doing as well as the others in class, so might as well not try anymore. Let me just give up because I've lost hope. This is why people give up. When reality hits us, when the dreams that we have dreamt about, we have not realized them, this is where hope is lost. Uncertainty sinks in, and now we give up. Humanly, this is how we would define hope. Hope is that which we dream of, where we dream of something. We wish for something. We expect something. But we have no certainty, no assurance whether we can get it or achieve it or not. I mean, when you talk to a young boy, this is the wishful thinking that this young boy may have. You ask him, what are your ambitions? What do you want to be one day? Maybe to be a teacher. Maybe to be a musician. And so these are the dreams that he have. And then he would hope and he would work towards these dreams until something comes in that dashes his hope. So for us, human beings, we often define hope as wishful thinking. And the problem is this. In this dark world, in this difficult world, this world full of wars, full of pestilences, diseases, full of manipulations. When you go to your office, isn't it a battleground that you go to every week, every day? You face difficult people, you face difficult bosses, all these things that you have to do. Isn't it hopeless? And what of the end of everything that you have done? I mean, at the end of the day, what would you get out of all this labor that you do? Isn't it hopelessness? And this is why the Lord Jesus Christ, having explained this truth to them, to the disciples, in Matthew chapter 24, he gave the disciples just one very simple instruction. He told the disciples in verse 42, watch, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Watch. And he says, be ye ready. Verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. The Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples that the only hope that they can have in the midst of all this persecution would be to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, to watch. In other words, the only way the disciples can find hope in this hopeless world is to place their hope in Christ. And my friends, this is what I would like to share with you this evening. How can we place our hope in Christ? How can we find hope in Christ? What does it mean to have our hope in Christ? How can we be ready for Christ coming again? How can we be ready despite all the sufferings and the turmoils of this world? How can we have hope in Christ? And for this, I would like to first read to you a portion from Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 to verse 8 in the Bible. If you do not have your Bible, do not worry. I'll read this to you. Because in Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 to verse 8, I will first show you that the Bible describes a kind of hope that is very different from the hope of the world. The hope of the world is a wishful thinking, is a dream. The hope of the world is uncertain. But the hope of the Bible is very different. The hope of the world can be removed and taken away. The hope of the world can be dashed. But the hope of the Bible is assured. It has an anchor. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says here, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit." Now the Bible here describes a hope, and the Bible says this is a hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Now in the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul, who wrote this book, was addressing believers. So he was talking about a people who had already this hope. And he's saying that these people, they have a hope that is laid up for them in heaven. What is this hope that the believer has that is different from the unbeliever? The word laid up here in verse 5, the hope which is laid up, is a very meaningful word. Because it is a word which describes something that has been reserved. Now this word has only been used 4 times in the Bible. But the Bible says here, this is a hope that has been stored up for you, kept for you, reserved for you. In another place, this word reserve is used to describe the crown which has been reserved for God's people, the crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8, the crown of righteousness which has been laid up for you. So oftentimes this word laid up is used to describe something which is reserved. Already yours. You don't have to be worried about whether you can receive it or not. It is promised for you. Now, in other words, what does this mean? This means that the hope that the Bible describes is a hope that is certain. A hope where we can have confidence. The hope of the Bible is always a confident hope. We are sure that we have it. We are sure that we possess it. And we are sure that no one can take it away from us. When something is laid up for us in heaven, it is a place most secure. Because heaven is the place where God dwells in. It's a place where no evil can reach to, where no thief can enter. No one can snatch it or take it away from us. Hope is that for the believer, something assured, something confident. And this is the kind of hope that the Bible describes. But the next question we then need to ask is, how can we have this hope? How can we have this hope that is laid up for us in heaven? And the Bible also in Colossians explains this. You can have this hope. In verse 5, the second part, where you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. You have heard of this word in the gospel, this word of truth, and this is the gospel of hope. Now, when you go down a few verses in Colossians chapter 1, and you see in verse 15, he says, Christ, here he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And now he talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, Now go to verse 20, and he says, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And then now, in verse 23, he says, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So he talks about the hope of the gospel here. But where is this hope? This hope is in Christ. Christ, the image of the invisible God. Christ, the one who has made peace through the blood of his cross. Where can we find hope? The Bible says we can simply find it in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Christ himself. This is the same truth declared and expressed in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, the Bible here says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. And what is this gospel? He says, for I delivered, in verse 3, unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. What is the gospel? The gospel is simply how the Lord Jesus Christ has died on the cross for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And he says, in light of this truth of Christ's resurrection, we have hope. Now you see, in the text which we first read, right, in Matthew chapter 24, it was near the end of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that shortly after this, the Lord Jesus Christ would go to the cross and he would die there. Now the cross is, to the human mind, not a symbol of hope. When the Romans, they look at the cross in those days, they would not see hope in it at all. Because the cross is a symbol of death, of torture, of humiliation. The Romans have designed the method of death by crucifixion to be the most painful, humiliating way to cause a person to die. Oftentimes, they would hang on this cross. This cross would have two beams, one placed horizontally and one placed vertically. And this thief, a criminal, would be hanged on this cross where he would be left to die. And oftentimes, it would take days before a person dies. And you can imagine the elements that he would have to go through, right? The heat of the day, the cold of the night. At the same time, the person being hung on the cross, he would have his hands pierced with nails. He would be bleeding, and due to the loss of blood, due to the difficulty in breathing, it would be a very painful and torturous time. Now, this method of crucifixion, the Romans have designed it to be so torturous that a Roman citizen can never be crucified and can never be killed by way of crucifixion. Okay? Crucifixion is not allowed to be practiced upon a Roman citizen. Often it is applied to the prisoners of war, and they would torture them in public so that they would be a warning to others. If you commit the same crime, if you resist the might of Rome, then this would be your end. This would happen to you as well. So when we think of the cross, it is not a symbol of hope. And when the disciples, they heard of the Lord Jesus Christ going to his death, they would not think of hope. But what gave these disciples hope? It is the gospel. You see, the cross is not just for the believer, for the Christian, a symbol of death or of torture. It is hope for us, simply because when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he took our sins upon him. Now we talked about dreams which has been dashed. We talked about the darkness that is in this world, the hopelessness that is in this world. But the question is, what has caused all these things? What has brought about all these things in this world? Don't you realize that the problem is sin? Why is it that people like to manipulate things? It's because of sin. The Bible says that it's because of sin that this whole creation also groans. It's because of sin and the curse of sin, which has reached us to the end of this whole creation, that today we see all the problems, all the turmoils. Why is it that even creation, when we look at creation, we see the beauty and the wonders of it, yet we see so many defects in creation? It's not because God has created an imperfect world, it's because sin and the curse of sin has touched this world. Why is this world such a hopeless place? It's because of sin. And we all have the sin nature. And because we have this sinful nature, when we live on this world, we fill this world with our sinfulness. And how then can man find hope? It is unless and until the problem of sin has been dealt with. What has the Lord Jesus Christ done on the cross is to deal with the problem of sin, to conquer sin. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he took our sins upon him. The burden of sin, the guilt of sin, the condemnation of sin was taken upon him on the cross. And he took it and he bore it willingly. This is why now in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have hope. But the wonderful truth continues. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ died. And he died on the cross. A most painful death. But after that, he was also buried. This is to tell us that he really died. And then he rose again the third day, according to the scripture. When the Lord Jesus Christ rose again the third day, it now tells us how the Lord Jesus Christ has conquered death itself. Now, why do people have no hope? It is because no matter how successful or how clever they are, there will always be one thing which they will have no power over: death. And do you know nobody really dies of old age? Right? If you think about it very carefully, nobody really dies of old age. When a person reaches like 90 years old, then he dies. Then he says, he has died a natural death. He has died of old age. But he doesn't really die of old age. He dies because a part of his body has failed. An organ has failed. His mind has given up. He has died. And because of death, people realize that actually there's no hope. So some humanists, what they would try to do is that they would say that since we have no hope anyway, right, we will all die anyway, let us find hope in this world. Let us make the most of the time that we have in this world. But there are some people who try to do that and they cannot find any hope in this world. What do? They give up life. Why suffer? If life is so miserable and I'm going to die anyway and death would end all these things, death would end all my relationships, do you realize death will put an end to the closest ties of kinship that you have on earth? Death, in a sense, is more powerful than love, right? Because you may have a husband or a wife whom you love very much. But no matter how much you love that person, will your love be able to overcome death? It cannot. Death will just take and break this relationship away. And death will put an end to all these things. So some would say, since death would end it all, what is the point of suffering through my life on this earth? Why don't just end it earlier? Why go through all the pain? Now, if there is no hope, and if on this earth only we have hope, the Bible says we are of all men most miserable. But here is the wonderful truth. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the grave. When the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the grave, He has conquered sin. He has broken the power of sin. When the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the grave, He has also conquered death. And after death, there is a fearful thing in the minds of men. There is a fearful place which the Bible describes, hell. But when the Lord Jesus Christ conquered death in His resurrection, He has also conquered the power of hell. This is what 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us. In the last part of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, in verse 55, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. O death, where is thy sting? There is a sting to death. And grave seems to have victory. You can look at the trophies of the grave. Rich men, powerful men, geniuses. All these things, all these people, they are trophies of the grave. The wisest man on earth, Solomon, he died. The kindest man, the meekest man, Moses, he died. O death, there seems to be a victory of the grave. But the Bible tells us, the Lord Jesus Christ gives to us victory when He conquered grave. And this is the wonderful truth of the gospel. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, having suffered on the cross, having shed His blood there, having died, the Bible tells us He also rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And this, my friends, is what Apostle Paul is really describing in Colossians chapter 1 verse 3. The hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Because this is the hope which you have heard before in the truth of the gospel. Now, what I'm telling you this evening is simply the truth of the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ shed His precious blood. And the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the grave. And how then can we have this hope? Simply by hearing the word of the truth in the gospel and by believing in it, we can now be partakers of this hope. And this hope will be laid out for us in heaven. The hope for the Christian is a hope that cannot be taken away. Because Christ can never be taken away from the Christian. See, for the Christian now, what we enjoy is Christ with us in this hopeless world. And that is our hope. People and men may have dreams and ambitions. They try to find purposes and meaning to their life. But for the Christian, the purpose and meaning of our lives is Christ. The pains of illnesses will not frighten us because we have Christ. They may take away our bodies, our flesh may suffer, but we have Christ. The fears and the doubts and the uncertainties are swept away in the hope that we have in Christ. Christ has died on the cross for my sin. Christ has borne my guilt, taken away my shame. I have Christ. How can I have fear when my Savior is near? This is the hope that believer has. You see, for the believer, when you talk to them, some of you would have believing friends. Do you see the hope that is in them? What gives them this hope? It is Christ's complete work. Do you know that for the believer, it is not the things that they do, it's not their attendance in church that gives them hope. It is not their own prayers that gives them hope. It is not their joy and their own working of happiness that gives them hope. But for the believers, what gives them hope is Christ. Christ has died for my sin. Christ has risen again for me. And my life that is hid in Christ, my life that is secured in Him. And the wonderful truth is that our hope that is in God is not just because God has given us this hope, but because God is the one who has worked this hope in us. The Bible does not merely say that God is our hope, but more than that, the Bible says our hope is in God. And there's a big difference. When you hope in something, you try to place your hope in it. But the Bible also says God works hope in us. And thus, the Bible declares we are saved by hope. Our hope is laid up for us. When we heard it, we knew the grace of God in truth. That's what Colossians chapter 1 verse 6 tells us. We have experienced the grace of God in truth. Now this is the hope that the believer has. Hope in a hopeless world. Friends, when you look at this world, what do you see around you? Do you not see hopelessness? Are you still fearful? Some have chosen to accept this sad reality. I remember recently I was talking to a non-Christian friend. And he was talking about the uncertainty, the unanswered questions that he have. And then he was trying to say the only reason why he's still searching for these things is because he still has a little bit of hope. But yet the hope that he has is uncertain. But he's still just trying to find, not knowing whether he can find it or not. But then my question to him is, why do you still want to search for something that you have already, that has already been told to you, presented to you, been given to you? Why do you want to search for something that has already been found? You try to find hope in so many things in this world, but you cannot find it. Is there not a reason why? It's because this world cannot give you hope. Why then wouldn't you want to find your hope in Christ? Friends, do you have this hope? Would you not find this hope in Christ? If you continue searching in this world, do you really think that you can find hope here? This world is full of sin, full of darkness, full of misery. We are living in a hopeless world. And the Lord Jesus Christ has told us that until His coming, the world will get from bad to worse. But if we watch, if we are ready for the coming of Christ, that is when we can have hope. And how can we be ready? Simply by placing our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Christ, He gives us hope. Why? Because He has conquered this world. He has conquered the grave. He has conquered sin. He has conquered hell. The hope in the gospel. This is a simple truth. But until you experience this, until you place your faith in Christ, you will not have this hope. There will be friends here, I pray that you would, if you have questions, you would seek answers from some of the other members of this church. Ask them. And they will tell you of Christ, how you can find hope in Christ. But the Bible has told you, simply place your faith and your trust in Him. He is the source of hope, and this hope is laid up for you in heaven. Let us pray. Our loving and merciful Heavenly Father, so oftentimes we have lost hope. We have lost hope in ourselves, in our endeavors, in our ambitions and dreams. So many things that we plan for in our lives, they have been taken away from us because of mistake or because of unforeseen circumstances. When we look at all these things, we feel miserable because we wonder, is there hope? But, O Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast taken our eyes away from the temporal and the miserable things of this world. Thou hast placed our eyes on the everlasting cross of Christ. And looking upon the cross, we see hope indeed. Because on the cross, we see our Savior bearing our burdens, our shame, our guilt. Oh, our sin is nailed to the cross, and we bear it no more. And our lives now, the life that we have, we live in Christ. And Father, what a wonderful hope this is for us. That even when our bodies are afflicted, when doubts fuse our mind, we can always have hope in Christ. We thank Thee for this blessed hope that believers have. But we pray also for our friends here this evening, those who still do not know of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have not found hope. They are still searching for something that will fill them, that will satisfy them. But we pray that Thou will move and work in their hearts, that they will find their hope only in Christ. And how safe we are when we find hope in Thee. So Lord, may You use Thy word to speak to some this evening. May You convict them of their sins and turn them to Thyself. We thank Thee for this blessed hope that we have in Christ. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.